What's going on, guys? I'm Alex. Welcome to another episode of the BSR Show. We are the Black Series Rebels. With me, as always, is my boy, Stephen Ellis.
What's up, Alex? I'm stoked to be here for another episode.
And below me, he's down there. Through a haze of my own migraine, he cuts through like a brilliant superhero. With us, as always, is my boy, Cisco Kid.
Hello, my boys. Dwight Schrute was not bullied. He was a dick.
Yeah. We were just talking about the new Friends is actually not good take is indeed Dwight was bullied on The Office. Dwight is a dweeb. He deserves every bit of bullying he got on The Office. Also, guess what? It's not real. Dwight is not a real person being tortured by a real man. If you know a Dwight that's being bullied in The Office, I would recommend taking it up with the actual HR department of your company. Guys, how you doing this week?
Good. Doing really good, guys. Lost some LBs, baby.
Check. We're out of the month of new, but hit me with it, buddy. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Lost, I'm at a total of 17 pounds now.
Good job, man.
Attaboy, give yourself a coin for that.
Oh, okay. I'll take it.
17 pounds. Bro, that's like a little over two baby Harpers just plucked out of your body. That's basically Cisco's kids pulled out of your body.
Kidding me? Cisco's kids have that full head of hair.
Yeah, no, that's like Alana's hair pulled out of your body.
That's a good point. Yeah.
How you doing, Cisco?
I'm doing pretty good, man. I actually made an investment in myself. GameStop?
You bought GameStop? You're playing the stonk market, bro?
No, I'm not fucking with those stonks. I purchased a new pair of running shoes and some running pants, and I am going to get back on my running game.
Well, shit. Let me be the first to invite you to join me on Strava.
Can Strava be a running thing too?
It started as a running thing. They actually added cycling later.
Oh,
so you can, it basically like you turn it on when you go for your run and it tracks you
with the
GPS and lets you know like, hey, this is where you put max effort. This is where you could go a little faster. This is where you start to fall. And then if you get really into it, obviously you can get like an Apple Watch. It'll track your heart rate.
And I was just going to do the Nike Running Club, but I think I might do your Strava too.
I know that Nick Gambarian is a big runner and he didn't like the Nike Running Club. He's like, it wasn't as good, but you might be able to sync them too. A lot of them like connect or whatever, but I know Nike Running Club is only for runners. So I can't use that for cycling. So I don't know, but it's fun, man. Cause you can like, if you have buddies that are into running and cycling, you can track each other's progress and like get routes and stuff. So like you could follow Nick. If Nick like goes on a hike or a big run, you'd be like, oh, I'm going to go, I'll go try that path out today. That's exciting, dude.
Yeah, dude.
What'd you get? What kind of shoes did you get?
I got a new pair of, Nike Flyknit Reacts. They're called like the React Infinity or something like that. I forget what they're called. A pair of like sort of, weather resistant running pants.
Nice.
I had a bunch of gift cards that I got. I got a bunch of gift cards for my birthday and for Christmas. And I hadn't used them. They were just like sitting there. And I had been thinking about getting back into running. And I said, you know what? Let me just pull the trigger on some new shit. And that'll be my motive. And so then I told the wifey, this is what I'm doing. And she's like, even if you hadn't used the gift cards, that would have been a good use of your money. And I said, all right, then I made a good decision.
Oh, that's good. I'm glad she's proud of you.
Oh, yeah. She's really good. She's always been super supportive and not like, never like
get off your ass and exercise. Like, she doesn't like, strike me as Stacy's style.
No, never. I mean, and she does invite me to work out with her. She's really good about working out consistently. And so she will invite me to. And it's, you know, it's always like in the middle of the day when I'm like working or something. And I always make an excuse not to do it. But this is going to be my new venture. And let's see how long I can hang.
Hey, man, you know, with the biking, dude, like the thing that it's all about just like making realistic goals. Cause like, I think Steve and I talked about this on our resolutions one, and you know, you're not going to wake up tomorrow and be able to rip a 6K. Like it ain't going to happen. Right. Like get out, get some fresh air and don't beat yourself up and just get addicted to the feeling after, not the feeling during. That was the big thing for me with riding, was like the feeling doing it. That's the mental game. That's the, like, I can go a little farther. I can go a little, I can be a Captain Marvel. I can go higher, faster, farther. Like I know I can do it, but after, I would get addicted to that like high of, oh my gosh, I'm so happy I did that today. But I'm proud of you, man. That's awesome.
Thanks, man.
That's a good activity. Well, I did some cycling this weekend. I did about, I think I did like 60 miles this week. Did some rides. The wifey and I hopped on our bikes and rode to get coffee a couple days. Nice. And she was like, I'm not going to lie, I'm very attracted to this idea of you like hopping on your bike to go get, like, I went to Handy Market, Steve, like rode and got like a sandwich. And she was like, she's like, where'd you eat the sandwich? I was like, I sat on the curb with my bike and I ate the sandwich. She's like, you just ate it on the street? I was like, yeah. She's like, well, what'd you drink? It's like, bottle of Coke. She's like, let me get this straight. You had a bottle of Coke, a artisan barbecue sandwich while you sat with your track bike on the street. She's like, you're very attractive right now. This is a very attractive quality. I like Bike Alex. So that was kind of my weekend. But
Speaking of Handy Mart, I've been meaning to ask you guys how the barbecue is at Handy Mart, because I see the line and I see the smoke when I drive by there. I'm always like, oh, is it worth it?
I think that the Handy Market is a very important establishment in the city of Burbank, California. Mm-hmm. I, however, am not a fan of the barbecue. I prefer to buy the tri-tip there and barbecue it myself. Okay. I walk by it every Saturday morning on my walk at 8:30 every morning, and it smells fantastic. It's just,
You had the tri-tip sandwich, Steve?
I have, not a fan.
Not what? Okay. So why not? Cause I kind of dug it. It was my first time having it. I normally get like the ribs or like the grilled corn.
I like a Santa Maria style dry rub with then putting my sauce on it. I don't like the way that for their particular tri-tip sandwiches, when you get them there, I don't like that they've already pre-cut the tri-tip and then it's been sitting in like a hot pan full of their barbecue sauce.
Yes, that's it's definitely a cafeteria style tri-tip sandwich.
And it bums me out because they've got racks and racks of tri-tips that have just been grilled. And I get it in terms of time and moving that line. I get it takes too much time to freshly cut it, throw it on the hoagie and go. And it's easier to just plop it in like a sloppy Joe. It's just not my style. It's not for me. And I give it a shot, at least like I do with Lord of the Rings. I give it a shot like once a year. And every time I'm like, meh.
If you go first, Cisco... Are you like a big barbecue sandwich guy?
Not a big barbecue sandwich guy, but I love sandwiches, and barbecue sandwiches are on the, you know, they're things that I love. Like when Stacy was in Missouri for her year of her internship, she was in a little area called Columbia, which was basically halfway between St. Louis and Kansas City. And so we would do a lot in both areas, and whenever we'd end up in like Kansas City, it was always like a barbecue thing. And Kansas City barbecue is no joke. And I fell in love with this thing that they do really well. They're called burnt ends, which is
burnt
basically
end sandwich.
Like, yeah.
The burnt oh yeah. Of a, of yeah. Don't get your hopes up for one of those from Handy Market.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
not getting a burnt end sandwich.
So, I mean, that's my jam. I fuck with that pretty heavy. If I see burnt ends on something, I'm like, I'm real tempted to do that.
Yeah. I actually, when I did Celebration Orlando, there was a really good barbecue place that Alex Rubens and I went to, and we got burnt end sandwiches, and it was my first time having one, and I was like, oh my God, this is so good.
There was this like burger, it was kind of like, not like a fancy place, but like a little kind of upscale kind of like burger spot in Kansas City that did a burnt ends burger. So it was like the burger patty with burnt ends on top and like a coleslaw, like a, it might have been like a jalapeno coleslaw or something. I just remember being like, yo, this is my jam, right?
No cheese, bro.
No cheese.
Listen, if you're going to hit up Handy Market, you're hitting up Handy Market for their incredible ice cream selection. They've got like all kinds of ice creams. And then,
really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah, dude. They've got.
Never told me this.
Yeah. Street. Oh, yeah. And then their beer selection.
They got a
legit beer selection there. Okay. Alex has had to go on many occasions when I was unable to get me my bottle logics. So,
when we are past all the madness and we get together, that'll be the spot to pick up a couple of brewskis. And
is that our like post pandemic thing we're going to do, is go to Handy Market, get barbecue beers, and then go back to Steve's house and finally watch a movie together for the first time in 2 years.
We'll watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang, and then we'll watch Iron Man 3.
Can we just make a detour to the Larry's Chili Dog?
Sure. Oh yeah, okay. I actually haven't been since you. I know when Steve's in my hood, because he's like, I think I'm gonna grab Larry's. I'm like, oh, he must be nearby. Well, as you guys know, this month is the Midnight Movie Month, and because it's our news episode, we are gonna be talking all about some movie news with some other goodies. So, Steve.
Yeah, Alex.
What's going on this week in movie news? Hey, Steve, what's going on this week in movie news?
Oh, Alex, what is going on in movie news? Buddy, actually, not a whole lot.
Well, it's Midnight Movie Month, and Hollywood better fucking get with it.
And Hollywood is doing its thing. Give me one second here. Okay, my, we're having a technical problem here. Stand by.
Stand by for technical difficulty. Stand by.
Coming to America 2 got a new trailer. It looks hilarious. It's dropping March 5th on Amazon Prime. I don't know if we talked about this previously. It was finally released that the movie is not going to be rated R, and it will in fact be rated PG-13. I don't know how I feel about that, but
that's overall, let me be the negative Nancy, because you guys are super stoked. Maintain your stoke. That's not a great sign. That movie's a hard R, the so 80s one.
Let me read you a text conversation that I had today with my buddy who sent me the trailer. He sent the trailer with a caption, "I don't know how good this movie's going to be." And I said, "Me either, but I'm here for it either way."
Yeah.
I really enjoyed the trailer. I laughed. Yeah, I laughed. But I'm worried now that the trailer literally took all of the best jokes and just
probably
crammed it in there as much as possible.
We'll see. I mean, either way, I'm excited. Like, I love Coming to America. That's such a funny movie. That's a newer movie for me. I watched that in quarantine, my first time finally watching Coming to America. That movie is incredible. That's probably one of my favorite 80s comedies of all time now. And I'm excited for that movie. And I hope it's good, because I know a lot of people like you two, my buddy Jay, who are super excited because Coming to America is one of their favorite, if not their favorite movie. Cisco, it is your favorite movie, right?
No, I mean, but it's up there for my favorite Eddie Murphy movies.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But it's not my favorite movie. My favorite movies, it fluctuates, but it's usually like Karate Kid, Back to the Future, or Top Gun.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Pulp Fiction's up there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I just know it's high up there. I'm stoked.
Oh, yeah,
PG-13, though, just makes me... I just get a little nervous when I see movies that should not be PG-13 rated PG-13.
Maybe for the BSR reunion special Midnight Movie Club, it can be a three-feature Eddie Murphy marathon. It could be Beverly Hills Cop.
Love it.
Trading Places.
Still haven't seen that one.
Coming to America.
I'm Coming to America.
Can we throw in Golden Child there sometime in Bowfinger?
I mean, we can do Bowfinger. I'd be down to do Bowfinger too. Anyway, okay, what else is going on, Steve?
Another movie that none of us give two fucks about that's coming to HBO Max March 18th. Zack Snyder's Justice League confirmed, rated R.
4 hours. Can't wait. I'm not watching that. Listen, I hope that people who are looking forward to that really, really enjoy it. And I hope that they're very happy with the turnout that has happened, with them letting them remake this movie after being able to take into account all the criticism that came out, and he didn't get to make the very first version of it, which probably would have been terrible too. But, you know, hey, listen, you know, hindsight is 2020, and he gets to have the benefit of, you know, all of the critical stuff that came out, and he gets to make a version of the movie that he intended to make. So hope you guys enjoy it.
I mean, to have the positive slant, whoever wanted the Snyder cut, I hope you love it. I think it's safe to say no matter what that movie is, they'll love it. I don't know that, that movie will particularly be looked at through the goggles of whether or not it's actually good, but it'll be looked at what people that are anti Zack Snyder cut or pro Zack Snyder cut, their opinions on whether or not the movie should be made. But I just don't care. Steve and I talked a little bit about Zack Snyder. Maybe it was even last week on the show at some point, but we were just like, oh no, we were texting about it. Right. And we were like, do we know of any Zack Snyder movies that we like? And I was like, I know I was struggling to find one. You had a couple, Cisco, that you're like,
I like his Dawn of the Dead that he did.
I still haven't seen Dawn of the Dead, but I've heard good things about it. I absolutely love 300, and I really do like Watchmen a lot. I think that based on, you know, what you could do with that source material and turning it into a film, I actually really liked it. I don't have a huge problem with Man of Steel, but I don't love it, and I don't revisit it because of that.
I love the idea of Man of Steel,
mm-hmm.
but I don't think it's as good as it could have been. I don't mind this, like, let's have a gritty, dark Superman, whatever. That was like, that looked like the way that was DC's going to be their thing. Marvel was going to be fun, campy, and comedy, and bright, colorful Disney movies, and then DC was going to be our dark, broody superheroes. But like, mm-hmm. there's a lot of moments in Man of Steel I really love, but they're just moments.
And that's my thing. And I don't dislike Zack Snyder at all. I don't have anything against him. And I don't think that his movies are terrible by any means. And I'm not going to say that about Justice League, because I don't know what that was. But my thing with Zack Snyder overall is, and again, who am I to say? I'm not a director. I don't like, it's really unfair of me to basically, you know, judge him. But the impression that I always leave the majority of his movies is, I feel like he's a production designer who turned into a director. And I feel like he overcompensates with the trying to be super dramatic with these things, that sometimes they just, in my opinion, fail to land and feel a little disingenuous in terms of that, the trying to be dramatic. And it falls flat for me.
It sounds like you'd think that this would be obvious, but it really isn't obvious. And that, you know, every step of the process, we always talk about the process, the scripting process, the development process, pre-production, producing, on set. It really all starts with the script. And if the script isn't tight, if the script isn't right, if it's not clicking, it doesn't matter what visual flair you're going to put onto this movie. If the script isn't rock and roll, you run into, there's a lot of movies that I've been really excited for, and it's all lost in the script. It's not the acting. It's not the look of it. Like, shit, a great example, all of these Pirates of the Caribbean movies, they all look great. They're all fun and they're wacky. But by the time you get to Pirates of the Caribbean 6, you're like,
it's a fucking slog. Oh, man. It's a goddamn slog to get through.
You guys got to, like, before you throw this movie out, maybe like read the script before you put it into production. So,
Alex, sometimes it's the acting.
Well,
Jesse Eisenberg made some choices.
Well,
at least somebody did. At least somebody did. And that's all I'm going to say.
100%, dude. 100%. But remember, though, if the actor's doing their job correctly, those choices are informed by the story and the script that's being told. But
yeah,
like 100%, dude. Like it is a team effort. I just know if the foundation isn't strong, don't build a house there. Wait till you find a good foundation.
This is something that is integral to the conversations that we always have, which is that movies and television, entertainment of all kinds, are a collaboration.
Yes. That
one person is never responsible for success or failure.
There's probably only a few auteurs that I would attribute their work to being like, that movie probably lives and dies by that person. Quentin Tarantino would be one of them where I'm like, that guy, it's basically him.
But he would say that the actors are, you know, and their performances are oftentimes not always what he sees on the page necessarily.
100%. So, I'm just saying, like, I don't,
but no, you're right.
Like there are like David Fincher is another one where I go, he's going to be like, they have a vice grip on their creative. Edgar Wright is even one. Edgar Wright feels a little looser than those guys, but like there is a some directors have a vice grip when they're working, and you have to be really good to have a vice grip if you're that kind of director. But again, this is all, we're trying to really stay positive this month and keep the good vibes flowing. I hope people love Justice League. I think we all agree. I just don't know that I'll be tuning in for that 4-hour movie. I still haven't seen Wonder Woman 84.
Continue on with the DCEU. James Gunn's official synopsis for his Suicide Squad is finally here. Welcome to Hell, aka Belle Reve, the prison with the highest mortality rate in the US of A, where the worst supervillains are kept and where they will do anything to get out, even join the super secret, super shady Task Force X. Today's do or die assignment: assemble a collection of cons, including Bloodsport, Peacemaker, Captain Boomerang, Ratcatcher 2, Savant, King Shark, Blackguard, Javelin, and everyone's favorite psycho, Harley Quinn, then arm them heavily and drop them literally on the remote enemy-infused island of Corto Maltese. And I'm not going to lie, there's a whole other fucking paragraph to this that I am not going to read.
Can I say one thing about that?
Yeah.
I never noticed this before or heard that they were doing this, but Corto Maltese, if that's a reference to the Corto Maltese that is referenced in Batman 89, it's fucking awesome.
Do you want me to continue reading?
Do you know? Because I don't know. But in Batman 89, doesn't Vicki Vale, hadn't she just come back from the Corto Maltese or something like that, doing her photography over there?
You're right. She was. Here we go. Here we go. In the comics, Corto Maltese is the name of a small island off the coast of South America, which becomes the site of a rebel uprising. The U.S. backs Corto Maltese's government, while the Soviet Union backs the rebels, furthering heightening international political tensions. The U.S. sends in Superman to subdue the uprising. Things do not go according to plan whatsoever, because the Soviet Union ends up launching a nuclear missile that Superman deflects from the island but sends to another part of the Earth, proceeding to mess things up big time.
It's Cuba, basically.
So awesome. Is Homeboy in it? Our Superman? What's his name? What's the actor's name again?
Henry Cavill?
Henry Cavill.
That has
I'm thinking Tom Welling from Smallville.
I'm sure he's back available.
He's back playing Superman in one of the Flash things or something, I think.
DC fans got really pissed that they let him go.
Yeah, and they haven't officially announced that he's back. Basically, it sounds like we got official confirmation. I think we talked about this like 2 weeks ago, but we did get official confirmation that Keaton is in, because I believe there was an earnings call that whoever's running that department did, or there was an interview or something with him coming back. But in terms of Superman, yeah, I don't think it's been confirmed.
In the Batman, right?
In the Batman or in Flashpoint.
You know,
it's going to be weird. This is going to be a weird couple of movies for
I think Suicide Squad is going to be super weird. I hope I enjoy it. I really, you know, I just rewatched, I texted you guys, I rewatched Guardians of the Galaxy 2 the other day, which I hadn't watched in a really long time. I think maybe since the theater. And I came back thinking that it was better than I thought it was. You know, because I remember watching it in the theater and thinking like, I don't know how much I like this. And then overall, I don't like it as much as the first Guardians, but it's got some really, really strong moments.
My nipples.
I mean, the jokes are on point. I mean, you know, James Gunn's, he knows how to write a good joke, but I think to me, the sort of more emotional moments are what stuck with me. All the Nebula and Gamora stuff, all the stuff with Rocket and Yondu and Peter. So, I mean, all that stuff is just like, oh, it's so strong. So,
which all really pays off as that phase ends up playing out. Like all that Gamora Nebula stuff is super important for all the Avengers stuff that was going to start getting laid down.
Yeah. So I've been super excited and looking forward to this version of the Suicide Squad. Didn't like the first one. So
the first one I really, 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 really didn't like. Like, I remember sitting in the theater and being just like, when is this over? I need to be out of the theater. I don't like this movie.
I really liked Harley in the movie, and I didn't mind Will Smith, but everything else was just, it was just hard to watch.
I'm excited for King Shark, because I think that guy's just nuts.
I think it's
the big buff great white shark, right?
Yeah, he's great. I think that John Cena's character looks really funny and weird. So I think that'll be interesting. So yeah,
I'm more excited to see how it's different from Guardians, because Guardians to me is such a James Gunn movie. I'm excited to see, you know, that he must have said like, hey, if I'm going to do this, don't expect Guardians.
Is it rated R?
It's gotta be.
So it's going to be more violent, which I think is, you know, and that's something that if you've watched any of, his trauma stuff. What was it? Trauma? It wasn't trauma, was it?
Yeah, he was.
So if you watch any of his trauma stuff, you can see how bonkers his shit is. And
he still produces bonkers like movies that are in sort of the modern version of trauma today that have come out over the years.
Dude, if he takes any of that sensibility that was in Super into Suicide Squad, I'm gonna be happy. Super is a fucked up movie, dude, but it's good.
And he's back for Guardians 3 too, right?
Yes.
They announced that he's back. Yeah. I think I'm excited for, I mean, I know we know that they've started filming Thor Love and Thunder. I'm really excited for I talk about it in our other movie episode that's coming up on Tuesday next week, but I just like been on such a Marvel kick. So I'm excited. I'm ready for Marvel movies to come back into theaters. I'm stoked for Black Widow, but not like I am for like Thor Love and Thunder.
Well, speaking of Thor Love and Thunder, do you guys want to see a little set pick of the God of Thunder?
Sure.
Talk about major 80s Kurt Russell vibes, guys.
Oh.
Let's see. I'm going to be really pissed if this technical difficulty is not fixed. Okay, we are.
Well, fixed. Luckily, I saw it. I've seen it, so I can talk about it if we don't see it.
Can you guys make that?
Oh yeah. Look at that jacket.
He's got real fucking, real Bliskin vibes, real Terminator punk vibes.
Let's see. It's coming up here. Yeah, it's it's very, in my opinion, it's very, like, almost Big Trouble Little China.
Yeah, it's cool.
It's got that going on.
Yeah. We got our Chris Pratt, which it was already announced that he's going to be in it. But yeah, it looks like they're having a good time. Nebula's back, so.
Yeah, because at the end of Endgame, they all take off together. It's
Thor, Asgardians of the Galaxy.
Yeah. But then we're also getting Natalie Portman
as Lady Thor.
As Lady Thor, right?
Correct. My guess would be is that this is like the Lady Thor, like setting up the next run of Thor stuff, and then the Guardians will split off, and then they'll go search for Gamora.
Yeah.
So it, I bet it has Rocket. This is going to be like baby Avengers. This is going to kind of be like Ragnarok in the sense that it has like the Guardians with Thor, and then Lady Thor, and then whoever the villain ends up being, we'll see. But
and Tessa Thompson's got to be in it too, right?
Tessa Thompson's back on Earth though. She's now running. She's now leading the Asgard, new Asgard. Oh,
right. That's right.
So she's probably in it, but probably doesn't come in till the end. Uh-huh. They probably have to go get her, and then she comes in to help. But man, Ragnarok was the one that kind of kicked off my Marvel jam this week while I was just doing errands and stuff. And like, man, I gotta tell you, I know I jokingly call it a gold standard, but you know, I've been watching a lot of these movies like Guardians 2 and just kind of remembering, oh man, we took them for granted how good they were, because they were kind of just coming out every 3 months and you were like, wow, this was good. Okay, that was good. That was good. I'm bored. That was good. I'm, you know, and now having some separation from it, I'm realizing just how impressive that run is. Basically from Ultron on, that run is just like lights out good. And I'm super stoked for Thor Love and Thunder. Like, I think I even said too, like Guardians 2 suffered from Star Wars being the new shiny toy, because I think Star Wars had started coming back out again and everyone was stoked for that, and Guardians was filling that void. So I think Marvel has, what's funny is that Thor is going to come out and then we're all just going to get stoked for Taika's Star Wars, that he'll jump over to that. Like Taika, I'm so excited to see where Taika's career goes over the next like 5 years. I'm really stoked.
Same.
Real quick, Golden Globes got announced today. I don't really give a shit, to be honest with you. Like, I don't really want to go, I don't really care about talking too much about it. I'm not upset about it. I just don't really, I don't know.
I just think that there's a lot of really lame snubs, and like always, they snub all the good stuff, and then the stuff that gets nominated is cool, but you're always just like, this is predictable. But like Steven Yeun's not nominated for Minari, that's like criminal.
But I know Mandalorian got nominated for best dramatic TV series, and
Ozark, and honestly, and I'm not trying to be a dick, but that's like criminal. Like, I love The Mandalorian, best drama on TV. Like, let's like take a step back and remove yourself from how much you love Star Wars. Like, there's probably been some shows that have had, like, I May Destroy You isn't nominated. Like, come on. Or so, is it I May or This May? This May Destroy You.
I May Destroy You.
Yeah, I May Destroy You. Like, Sarah, I haven't watched it, but she, like, when we would record this show, she would watch it. And I would go out there, and she would just be a ball of tears. Just like, this is the most incredible thing I've ever seen.
Yeah, Stacey
and, like,
loved it.
I love Mandalorian. It never, besides the Luke moment, I never was, like, transported out of my body with its artistic glory. So, but also award shows are fucking dumb. I say it every year, the same thing to you guys. Like, well, something's going to have to be the Forrest Gump to someone's Pulp Fiction. Like, it's like it every year. And I love Forrest Gump. I love Forrest Gump, but I love Pulp Fiction, and I really love Shawshank Redemption. And that's all I have to say about that. So that's all I got to say about that.
So this month is Midnight Movie Club theme, and I have been spending less time on Twitter, and I've actually, you know, for the last several months, you've heard me talk about being on Letterboxd, and I've been spending more time on Letterboxd, and I've sort of found the community and the posting over there. And there was a post that grabbed my eye that I wanted to talk to you guys about, and it is, what are some DVD menus that are burned into your brain because you're the last one up at the sleepover and you don't know how to turn off the weird TV at your friend's house?
Oh, man.
I got one.
What is it?
The Memento DVD.
I have one, too.
What is it?
Austin Powers. Do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do. Just that repeated over and over again.
I've got Van Wilder, and it's fucking Sugar Colt going, I'm bouncing off the walls again. Whoa. Just on repeat at like 4 o'clock in the morning. And it's like, turn it off, turn it off.
I feel like the DVD menu is like a lost art.
Oh, absolutely.
Because once Blu-rays came out, they kind of homogenized all of them. And it was just like, they all have the same like bar at the bottom. And then it's the music with something playing above it. But like, oh yeah.
The creepy Shrek one where they're like the weird pigs are bouncing.
But do you remember when it was like, they would have like secret stuff?
Oh, like Final Destination, you could like, there was a weird thing that you could do and find out the answer a few questions and it would tell you the date you're going to die.
Oh yeah. And then, so like the reason why Memento stood out for me is because if you did like a weird code on the screen, you could watch it in chronological order.
Yes.
Which was actually a really cool way to watch the movie.
Yeah. It's like Contra where you would do like certain things with your remote control, like with the arrows and stuff.
Yeah. You had to like get the cursor over to a weird place on the screen. And then once you got there, you could watch it in chronological order.
I wonder if that feature's on the I've never seen Memento.
What?
And I've never seen it. It's one of those movies where I'm like, I just got to really be in the mood. Everybody tells me
Guy Pearce being sexy.
He's never been sexier than Memento. I believe my exact phrase was, he has a sexy name. What's his name? And you're like, Guy Pearce. Like, yeah, sexy name.
I missed a college final because we put it on before we had a couple hours to kill before school or before we had to be at school. And we put it on and it wasn't over yet. And I couldn't, I basically said, fuck it. And didn't go do my final because I had to finish this movie.
Damn. Man, bro. You gotta get your priorities in order, dog.
I know.
Oh, you know who else had a really good DVD menu or top menu was Eternal Sunshine.
Oh yeah, I remember
Eternal
that
Sunshine
one.
Has a really good one.
They were like on the ice, right?
Yeah,
and I think the ice like cracked or did something cool.
Something
like
weird
it kind of went like
in the background. Yeah,
that something happened or like they're
God, back. I fucking love that movie. I haven't watched that in such a long time.
I've watched that one recently within the last year. That was one of those movies where Jasmine was like, I need to watch something. And we said, you should watch Eternal Sunshine. She hadn't seen it. She's like, nah, too old. And I was like, trust me. And then she turned it on and she was like, okay, this movie's like incredible. I was like, told you.
And spent a week with her fucking Instagram stories with being nothing but Eternal Sunshine. Yep. This last piece of news isn't really news and it's not a movie, but it is about Hollywood, and honestly I just wanted to play this sound up with it. Six people were arrested on Monday for changing the Hollywood sign to Hollyboob.
Really? Let it happen, dude.
Dude. Full disclosure, I saw the headline and I was like, oh, that's dumb. And I was like, but whatever, it's kind of funny. I like when people fuck with the Hollywood sign. I think that's pretty silly. And then I saw the people who did it and I was like, look at these goofy, like,
they're white,
they're
right?
Just like, yes, and they're just like the most generic wannabe influencers, and it's just like, you guys are, you're the worst. You are the worst. Like, you took this thing that's like could be kind of funny and dumb and silly, and you just made it worse by being you. Just like, it's like, I could be wrong. The picture looked like this, but it looked like just a white dude with dreads, which
of course
I find like highly offensive. I'm always like, why are you a white guy with dreads? Like, stop it.
You better be Gary Oldman in True Romance. Otherwise, get the fuck out of here.
Or if you don't live like on Venice Beach and you're like a homeless person, like, you know, you have an excuse. It's like, I could understand.
But if you fucking went to the salon and spent fucking $1,500 to do that, fuck off.
Come on, man.
That's all I got for news.
I feel so alive for the very first time, and I wish I could fly. That's anytime I see someone with hair like that, I just go, they have a POD tattoo somewhere on their body.
God
sure.
Bless
even the
San
guy
Diego.
From Counting Crows, he cut off all his, right?
Yeah, he did. Adam Duritz. Yeah. Yeah, he did. So that's all I got for movie news, but I have watched a lot of stuff, guys, that I've wanted to recommend on this show that I haven't the last couple of
weeks.
Do it. So there's a documentary right now that's available for rent that if you want to just be entertained for 83 minutes, I highly recommend you check out this documentary called Some Kind of Heaven. It's actually produced by Paul Thomas Anderson. It is about a retirement community in Florida, of all places, that is basically the Disney World of retirement places for old people. And we've got a storyline with a dude who doesn't live there that just basically is like 80 and sleeps in a van and tries to find a widow with a lot of money so he can retire. And he's got the security chasing him around trying to get him off the property. It's really interesting. It's actually really funny. I highly recommend you guys checking that one out. And then I revisited, I watched Tiger based off of Alex's recommendation. And
did you watch that one, Cisco?
I haven't yet.
I highly recommend the 2-part Tiger docuseries on HBO.
You gotta wait for the second part. Like the second part is what really kind of, cause I remember Steve texts me. He's like, it's fine. And then he got to the second part. He's like, I was wrong. Well, this is actually because, like, awesome.
You know what it was? Is I was coming off The Last Dance, and I think
different kind of
dance. I think that's what I wanted, and it's not the same thing.
No,
at all. And then I revisited the first Terminator, and I had a realization because I have such a vivid memory of seeing Terminator 2 in theaters that I feel like that was the first one I saw. And so when I went and watched the Terminator after that, I was like, I'm just going to watch Terminator 2. It's so much better. And in revisiting it right now, it's such an airtight script. And so, I mean, yes, there's some cheesy acting in it, but the pacing of that movie just moves. And if anyone hasn't revisited the Terminator in a while, I highly suggest you do, because it was great. It really was.
We'll do Terminator we'll probably do Terminator this month. I know Rewatchables just did it, but we should do Terminator because that's a great movie. And I know we have an action pin waiting in the wings that might be fun to tie in with that. So yeah, Terminator is great. What about you, Cisco? You watch anything else? Any other big stuff?
What did I watch? I watched, like I said, Guardians of the Galaxy 2. I can't remember if I talked about this or not on the show, but I rewatched Endgame.
Never heard of it.
And Force Awakens back to back.
Mm-hmm.
And both of those movies, man, just
slap.
They just make me so happy.
Yeah.
I mean, Endgame crushes me. Like, I cry every time. And
it's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Is that the first one or the second one?
Second.
Okay.
Infinity War is the first one.
Okay.
And then who is this guy? What is he doing on this show?
I watched I've been on a Gerard Butler kick. I watched Geostorm and is it Greenland or something? I don't know.
Greenland. I watched Greenland.
Yeah.
Greenland wasn't bad.
It was a popcorn.
Greenland. Yeah, it's fine. Like exactly what you expect from it. Greenland's fine.
Geostorm. Wow, guys.
I haven't seen Geostorm. No, the Gerard Butler movies that I've been meaning to get into are all the Fallen movies.
Oh, buddy. Oh,
Olympus Has Fallen.
Buddy.
Yeah.
Buddy, I don't understand why they just didn't change the name to John McClane and make that Die Hard 4, but
see, then anyways. Every time I think about I'm going to watch it, I end up watching Den of Thieves. Cuz I just love Den of Thieves so much. I don't think Den of Thieves is like the best movie ever made, and I would never say that.
HBO movie.
But I absolutely love it. And I would watch that movie 100 times. And I'll tell you why. I love Gerard Butler. I think he's doing like the most in that movie. But for me, it's Pablo Schreiber.
You got a man crush on Pablo.
Oh, 1,000,000%. I won't even hide it. I don't hide it at all. I love him in everything that I've ever seen him in. He's, you know, the first thing that I remember seeing him in was The Wire. So like, you know, but in that movie, he's always so different too. That's the other thing is that like all of his characters are so different, even when he's like a bad guy in a lot of different things. But, you know, he was one of the things that I really liked in Orange is the New Black, one of the main characters that I liked. But this is one of my vices. My wife and I both have this major, major vice. We are SVU addicts. We love
A
lot of SVU.
I've never seen an episode.
Oh, bro.
And I work with the man.
Let me tell you, man, SVU is the easiest thing to get addicted to. And I'll tell you why. USA does marathons like 3 times a week. And you don't have to watch them in any order. It doesn't
kiss
fucking matter.
Kiss your fucking day goodbye.
Your whole day is gone. And this is the thing I always end up falling into. I'll throw it on in the background while I'm working. And then I'll find myself like, am I working? Am I watching what's happening? I've seen this million. I've seen this episode 10 times. I don't need to watch it anymore. But Pablo Schreiber, okay, circling back. Pablo Schreiber plays one of the most insane villains that's ever been on SVU. And he's in like 3 or 4 episodes where he terrorizes Olivia. And he is, to my core, he scares me, that character.
He's Liev's so little brother, right?
Liev's, I think they're half brothers, yes. Okay. But like younger brother. And man, he is fucking.
He's all the scary parts of Liev.
Yeah. Like, oh boy, is he good in Den of Thieves.
Alex. Those are what I call, those are like dad movies. Those are like, if like Alex? Me, no, but like, that's totally a movie where like, if my dad or my father-in-law came over, I'd be like, oh yeah, you'd like this. And I've never seen it. I just know they'd like it. So I turn it on and walk away.
It's got like, it's not Heat level awesome, right? Because Heat has like the Michael Mann shine to it that makes it, that elevates it. But it's got the core of that heistness to it. And
don't
it's
fucking kinda, hate me. I've never seen Heat.
Oh, Heat's good.
Fuck.
Heat's I know, real, guys. Really good. I mean, you got to understand, this is an age difference thing. These are movies that were like when I was, they came out when I was in middle school.
Yeah.
My dad was like, you can't watch
well,
it.
Well, I got news for you, Alex. Because Disney now owns Fox and owns this stuff, Heat, which is a beautiful fucking movie to watch, like beautiful, like just to watch it physically, like for the first time is finally getting released on 4K.
All right. So now I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to wait for 4K to come. I'm going to get a little plugged in and I'm going to watch me some Heat.
I'm going to end on this for you, Alex, just because you and I have been bonding over our love for The Crown. This is the run I went on this weekend.
Hit me with it.
When I was not working. Well, over the last week and into the weekend. We watched The Queen, which is done by the same people that did The Crown.
Yep.
And from there, I did research and went, oh, shit, there is a whole Tony Blair trilogy by these guys. There is a movie.
Is the Queen the one with
Helen Mirren?
Helen Mirren.
And Michael Sheen. And Michael Sheen plays Prime Minister Tony Blair. There is a movie that came out in 2003 before The Queen that's all about how he became the prime minister. We watched that. We watched The Queen. Then there's another one where he plays Tony Blair, and it's all about his relationship with Clinton during the Lewinsky nonsense. From there, we moved on to W from Oliver Stone.
Oh, wow.
Damn, dude, you're just really into these political thrillers.
We did. Then we did Charlie Wilson's War with Tom Hanks, which, holy shit, that movie is really good.
Yeah, that movie's good.
That movie's really good with, like, I it's got to be Emily Blunt's first movie.
No.
It's pre-Devil Wears Prada.
It is?
Yes. That movie
Emily
is...
Didn't Emily Blunt do a movie with... God, what's her name? Why am I blanking on her name? The actress that Amy Adams.
Amy Adams is in that movie. Oh, you're talking about the My Sister's Keeper. Sunshine Cleaning. No, that's a good one too. Yeah. Yeah.
Sunshine Cleaning is real good.
Sunshine Cleaning is the Little Miss Sunshine folks, correct?
Yes, I believe so. I
think so.
So we did Charlie Wilson's War, and then I watched Lincoln for the first time.
Oh, man.
I've seen Lincoln, yeah.
Oh, man, Lincoln's great. I mean, that's all performance. You're signing up for Daniel Day-Lewis. You're signing up for a masterclass.
Oh, I'll do that all day.
So, anyways, but,
it's great.
That was the run I went on, and it was good.
Do we know when Heat comes out in 4K?
Not yet. We don't. It's soon, though, I believe.
Is that movie that beautiful?
You remember how Michael Mann shot Collateral?
Yeah. That, but Miami?
No, it's
Los Angeles.
Oh, it is LA. Yeah, I thought for some reason, maybe LA. I just thought for some reason I thought it was.
No, well, Miami was when he did Miami Vice.
But Collateral was all done digital though.
Yeah. But imagine him doing it on celluloid pre-digital.
And, nice colors, got a good pop.
Al Pacino, dude. Oh. Al Pacino going full Al.
Val Kilmer.
Val Kilmer, great.
Oh, it's
I do know Val Kilmer had like silver hair in it, right? Or
blonde,
something?
Real blonde.
Real blonde. Yeah. Yeah.
I remember, that's all I remember about
it. It's just, it's funny because the famous story behind Heat is that, and they cut it out of the storyline, but Al Pacino's playing him, this cop, as if he's like coked up the whole time.
Yeah.
And then they cut out the whole cocaine part of it. So his performance is just
nuts.
Fucking out there, man.
Well, and then to follow that thread, Gerard Butler does the exact same thing in Den of Thieves.
Yes.
He seems even more coked up. And it doesn't even seem like they're trying to hide the fact that he's a coked up.
Yeah. That's kind of funny. Like, even if that was intentional. Like, we're going to tell Al, we're going to write through this whole scene where it's like, hey, dude, he's all hopped up on coke. So, like, the whole time, he's kind of wired. And I was like, okay, cool. And, like, does it like that? And then you cut that out. And he's like, why is he nuts? You cut out all the cocaine. Like, we just needed to get you to that place, dude. We needed you to be, like, a fever dream.
Great ass.
Yeah.
Dude, well, Hank Azaria plays a small role in that movie. And his face, like, his face when he's interacting with Al Pacino is just like, what deer movie in headlights. Am I in?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Well, I'm going to put that on my list for sure. Guys, this was fantastic. We'll be back next week with Cisco's choice of Kiss Kiss Bang Bang for the Midnight Movie Month. I know I thoroughly enjoyed it. We all thoroughly enjoyed it. So this is your warning right now. It is Thursday. You have until Tuesday to watch Kiss Kiss Bang Bang and join along with us. This is something I say on the show, but of the three of us, I hadn't seen it. And I would encourage you to watch it before, because if you truly want to understand the brilliance that is Tony Stark's Iron Man, you kind of need to have a little bit of background and then understand Shane Black into how that kind of feeds into the history of the Marvel Universe. So watch it, catch up with us, and then Tuesday we will all enjoy Kiss Kiss Bang Bang together. Cisco, where can people find you at home?
Instagram and Twitter, Cisco Kid with 2D77.
Yo, Steve, where can people find you at home?
Twitter, at Rex Manning, and come find out my thoughts on the Tony Blair trilogy on Letterboxd.
Oh boy, my anticipation knows no ends to find out what you thought of it. You can find me at Alex_Backus on Twitter or at AlexBackus on Instagram. You also can find me at www.alexbackus. We'll see you guys next time on Black Series Rebels.
Guys, I'm here at Pixar. I'm about to go in, start working on a collaboration project with Pixar. Just kidding, man. I don't play that soft little baby shit, man. That's Satan all day, that evil Satan stuff, heavy metal shit, man. I don't fuck around with that little baby shit.